Divine Lessons from the Gita. From the mouth of God, the eternal well-wisher of all beings, is spoken the Srimad Bhagavad Gita for the supreme good of all of mankind, in which are revealed lessons on attaining transcendental divinity in dealings in this world. Whoever that person, woman or man, may be, whatever color, stage in life, community, country, race, situation he may be in, while remaining in that very state, he can realize the supreme essence, the truth. If he completely renounces prohibited actions, continues to perform prescribed actions without a selfish motive, then in this itself, he will realize the supreme essence, the truth. Sukha dukhe same kritva, labha labho jaya jayo, tato yudhyaya yujyasva nevam papa mavapsyasi. Meaning, maintaining equanimity in victory, failure, gains, losses, happiness, sorrow, you must engage in battle. Fighting in this manner, by fulfilling your duty, you will not incur any sin. What can be more terrible a situation than war? When even a grave situation such as war, man can attain his benediction, then in what situation can man not attain his supreme good, meaning salvation? Pleasure, pain, gains, losses, etc., all come and go, but we remain as is. Therefore, our state is naturally and innately established in equanimity. Gita is telling us to set our aim on equanimity, that when these various situations come, do not mingle with them. Do not become pleased, displeased with them. Only use them properly. When favorable situations arise, give others happiness, serve others. And when unfavorable situations arise, renounce desire for pleasure and happiness. Gita gives such divine lessons. Parasparam bhavayantaha shreya param vapsyata. Meaning, you and the gods fostering each other shall attain to the supreme good. May each one fulfill that which is lacking in the other. May we give pleasure and happiness to the other. May we see to the supreme welfare of the other. Then by default, all will attain their supreme good. Te prapnuvanti mameva sarva bhuta hite ratha. Gita chapter 12 verse 4. Meaning, those who are engaged in the welfare of all beings, come to me. Therefore, we must see to each other's supreme good. Give each other happiness. Give each other's honor and respect. Honor their words. Give them rest and relaxation. Serve them. Whether the other person serves or not, one must not think about that. In other words, we have not to see to the other person's duty. Rather, we must fulfill our duty without a selfish motive. Because seeing to others' duty is not our duty. Here there is one very important point to be understood, that the things, situations that we get are not dependent on the other individual. Rather, they are dependent on destiny. We will get these things, circumstances, etc., even on not wanting them, since they are destined to come. Just as, even though we are not wanting unfavorable situations, yet they come on their own. In the same way, favorable situations also come on their own. Other individuals will also get the same situations as are destined for them. But we are not to see towards them, but are only to see to our duty. In other words, we are to fulfill our duty. The second point is, in return for our service, if the other person will also serve us, the value of our service will go down. Just as when we give 10 rupees to the other person and the other person returns 5 rupees to us, only half the amount was given by us. Therefore, if the other person does not serve us back, we will attain salvation very quickly. If the other person serves us and we have to take service from the other person, we must be very obliged to them. But in this, we must not be pleased. Being pleased, meaning happy, is a form of sense enjoyment, and sense enjoyment is the cause of sorrow and suffering. Yehi sanspurshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. Gita, chapter 5, verse 22. Meaning, all the pleasures that are born of contact with objects are only sources of pain. Let me seize happiness. Let me gain respect and honor. Let my ideas and points hold ground. Let me get rest and relaxation. Let others serve me. Such sentiments are the cause of great ruin. Arjuna asked the Lord, "Why is it that even though not wanting, man commits sin?" To this the Lord replied, "The desire to get something itself makes one commit sins." Gita chapter 3, verse 36 and 37. The moment there is a desire for personal happiness, all sins, vexation, sorrow, nonsense, etc. come into the scene. Therefore, we are to give joy to everyone as per our abilities. We are to serve all. But in return, we are not to desire anything. The things we call our strength, intellect, abilities, etc., these we must engage in the service of others without a selfish interest. Why should others experience a lack of something and suffer when these things are lying with us? If our sentiments and feelings are such, while we have food, water, clothes, etc., why should others stay hungry, thirsty, and without any clothes? Then all will become happy. To fulfill each other's insufficiencies is naturally found in our country, Bharata. When the farmer used to grow grains, he used to barter the grains for other goods for his sustenance. Whatever he wanted, whether it was vegetables, oil, clarified butter, utensils, clothes, whatever he could exchange for the grains. The vegetable farmers used to barter vegetables for other goods. In this manner, if a man produced one thing, then through it he would fulfill the needs of all other essential things. There was no need for money at all. But now with money, our habits have been spoiled. We have grossly degenerated due to the greed for money. We have become so passionate about hoarding money that even things that are essential for living have become difficult to get. The reason is that selling those things has generated money, and then we have hoarded that money. We are not at all attentive to the fact that what use will all this money be, simply stashed away somewhere. The money itself will be of no use at all. Rather, it is spending that money which is of use to us and to others. However, due to the significance and predominance of money in the inner senses, these points are not easily understood. This hunger for money is not natural state for Bharat. Rather, it has come due to bad company. There is one very important point. Others' rights are our duties. Just as doing that which is for others' good is our duty, and it is the right of others. To serve the parents, to give them happiness, is the duty of a son and the right of the parents. In the same way, to provide and care for the son and to make him a good person and well qualified is the duty of the parents and the right of the son. To serve the guru, to obey his instructions, is the duty of a disciple and the rights of the guru. Like this, to remove the ignorance of the disciple, to make him realize God, is the duty of the guru and the right of a disciple. Therefore, through fulfilling our duty, we are to protect others' rights. A man who looks towards others' duty and towards his own rights strays away from his own duty. Therefore, he must renounce his own rights, and for the protection of others' fair and just rights, he must fulfill his duty to the best of his ability. To see towards others' duty and to establish your own rights will lead to downfall in this life and the life beyond. In the present times, the main reason for the lack of peace, the bickering, the conflicts, is that people demand their rights but do not fulfill their duties. Therefore, Gita says, Karmanya Vadikaraste Ma Faleshu Kadachana. Gita, chapter 2, verse 47. Meaning, your right is to work only, but never to its fruit. In this world, those considered eminent pioneers, dominant leaders, masters, main educators, trainers, topmost speakers, chiefs, foremost in their particular field, there is a great responsibility on them to educate others, to see to the well-being and benefit of others. For them, Gita says,
Yadyadacharati Shrishta Tatta Devetaro Jana Saprayaman Kurute Lokastanu Vartate.
Whatever is the conduct of great men, other men do just the same, and whatever they say, others do accordingly. In the previous verse, with regards to the conduct of great people, the words yat yat, tat tat and eva, these five words have come. But with respect to man's speech, only the following two words have been used, yat and tat. The point here is that man's conduct has five times more the impact on other men, and man's spoken words has two times the effect, significantly lesser. The man who himself does not do his duty, but only by his speech advises and lectures others to follow his advice, does not have any significant impact or effect on others. Advice and lectures have an impact and effect only when the one giving the lecture remains free of desires. His conduct is according to the scriptures and he remains within Lok Maryada, the established limits and boundaries. Therefore, God gives his own example and says that there is nothing in the three worlds that is for me to do and to attain. Then too, wherever I incarnate, in whichever form there itself according to the incarnation, I fulfill my duty. If I do not do my duty without being lazy and without being cautious, then others too who have faith and trust in me will begin to do the same. In other words, they too will slip and without being cautious will neglect their duty, by which the end result will be their fall. Gita, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. All human beings have three things they are disadvantaged in. Disadvantage in doing, in knowing, and in acquiring. To get rid of these three disadvantages and to emancipate oneself, man can attain these three powers: the power to do, the power to know, and the power to accept. Even though these three powers are present, only due to lack of knowing and due to desire for pleasure, man experiences suffering. If he were to utilize these three powers, he can fulfill the voids in him and attain completeness. To do things for others, meaning serve, without a selfish motive for the benefit of others, is the proper utilization of the power to do, which is Karma Yoga. Becoming apart from this body to remain established in one's own self is the proper use of the power to know, which is Jnana Yoga. Regarding God as our very own and seeing ourselves as belonging to God is the proper use of the power of belief, which is Bhakti Yoga. Gita teaches about these three paths of yoga. Just as he who only acts out of sacrifice, that is, performs actions for the benefit of others with sentiments of selflessness, that karma yogi is released from the bondage of karma.
Yajnaya charita karma samagram praviliyate.
Gita, chapter 4, verse 23. Meaning, he who works for the sake of sacrifice alone, yajna, all his actions are destroyed. The reason being that by not regarding things pertaining to the body as our own and for our own self, and by applying them in the service of others, one naturally and automatically severs relationship with these things. He who sees all actions taking place through nature and does not see himself as the doer of any actions, that is Jnana Yogi, person who follows the discipline of knowledge, attains self-realization. He who is inclined to the world only takes refuge in God and does not desire anything else besides God. The entire responsibility for his salvation is borne by God. Therefore, God himself makes provisions to protect what they have and also to provide them with all the necessities that are required. God destroys all their sins. He makes them quickly cross over the ocean of this life, which is a form of death, and also makes them enlightened. There is one extraordinary thing about Bhakti Yoga, the discipline of devotion, that a devotee by God's grace gets to know the essence of God. He beholds God and also realizes God. In this manner, there are many such unusual lessons given in the Gita, and conducting ourselves in accordance to these, man can very easily attain his eternal aim of God realization. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. From book in Hindi, Kalyan Path by Swami Ramsukhdas Ji. For more audio, please visit www.swamiramsukhdasji.net.